And turn with me to John 10:10. I want to talk about something today that, you know, I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach on ever. But I don't know why, because, see, it seems to be something that's a problem, and it's almost universal for Christians at some part in time in their life. And hopefully we get over it, get by it, get past it, and go on with our walk. But from the comments that I hear and the comments that I receive from different people in different places, different times, we're not doing so good a job of getting past it. It's my hope that after today we'll have at least a framework, and then maybe next week we'll explore it a little bit more and find out how. But this at least gives us a framework today. I won't be able to probably cover everything that needs to be covered, but I want to get it started. The topic, therefore, now, because I'm sure you have some curiosity, is condemnation. Condemnation seems to be almost universal in the Christian life. At some point, people get past the condemnation. But I think almost everyone has experienced it. And some people stay in it. Our staying in it limits what God can do in our life. Hallelujah. So, not to weigh you down too much, because even though it's a heavy subject, I understand it. God's got freedom. It's not his nature. It's never his nature to leave us in condemnation. It's never his nature to leave us in guilt and iniquity. It's never his nature to leave us in those things or to oppress us in those things. That's not the desire of God on your behalf. A great price was paid to set us free. So it's time for the church to recognize that we've been set free, and to recognize that because we've been set free, we can not only have that freedom, but we can evidence it in our life. Glory, glory. So John 10:10 says this. The thief, who's that? Satan, the devil. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his assignment. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So we see two very distinct roles. So if you're finding the condemnation somewhere in your life, you can already begin to understand that that's not part of life and life abundantly. Condemnation is part of the steal, kill, and destroy. It's the assignment of the enemy to take away who we are in Christ. So let me just give you, first of all, let me just say this. Condemnation, I see two words, and there may be more, but I see at least two words in that are translated as condemnation, the English word condemnation. The first one is krisis, which is spelled K-R-I-S-I-S. It's where we get the word crisis. And it simply means a decision, an act of judging. The other one is katakarina, which means an adverse sentence. An adverse sentence. So in other words, when we have an adverse sentence against us, in other words, somebody's already pronounced us guilty. Regardless of whether we are or not, they've pronounced us guilty. When we get into self-condemnation, guess what? Guess who's pronouncing you guilty? Your own self. You just came into agreement with the enemy. That's not what Christians do, but that's unfortunately what we do. That's not our assignment. That's not who we are in Christ. So I'm going to give you 10 things that condemnation does, and then we're going to explore a little bit more about those things and the answers that I see in Scripture for those deals. Emphasize legalism. Okay, then maybe I'll go a little slower than that. Emphasizes legalism. Condemnation emphasizes legalism. I want to jump off in that topic, but I said I would give you the list. So, condemnation shows you the problem, but not the solution. It's all about the problem. Condemnation is kind of like that fear that says, when you get unemployed that says, I'm going to be living underneath the bridge. It's not something that's going to, you know, that's going to come to pass, but it's all that you see. Number three, it creates judgment, accusation, unworthiness, shame, regret, disappointment, hopelessness. That's a pretty good list. None of those things are anything that I want. But and I'm sure that list is incomplete. Those are just the things that I thought of that I can see attached to condemnation. Let me run through the list one more time for those who take notes slowly. Judgment, it creates judgment, accusation, unworthiness. I can't type that fast either, so don't worry about it. Shame, regret, disappointment, and hopelessness. That's the reason that I don't have an iPad now, because I can't type that fast, so it's still easier to take notes with my hands. Number four, it's a common root in bondage and addiction. It's what keeps the cycle going. It's a connector for bondage and addiction. If we break the connector, we can break the cycle. Number five, it reminds you of your failures, which creates unworthiness and causes isolation. Because if you knew what I was dealing with, you wouldn't like me. So therefore, I'm going to withdraw. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. I see these looks, like they look, is he still looking at me? Doesn't have anything to do with that. Interestingly enough, I put this together because, yes, this week it's like every sozo I dealt with this week, this topic came up. But it wasn't out of anybody who's in this room, so we're good, okay? If I'm staring at you, it's simply because I'm staring at you, not because I think you're guilty of this particular one. Maybe it's just my way of casting those things somewhere else instead of, you know, my method of displacement here, okay? Number six, it's designed to destroy you over your struggles. Designed to destroy you over your struggles. So we're speaking about condemnation, and we're down to number six. So number seven is it keeps you second-guessing where you stand. Keeps you second-guessing where you stand and creates torment as you try to be perfect. Condemnation is a familiar spirit, a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit. Number nine, all the pressure for your righteousness is on you and not on Christ Jesus in condemnation. And number 10, and the one that is I think is probably the most important, condemnation prevents authentic relationship with God. It prevents authentic relationship with God. It's really easy to get into condemnation. The problem is recognizing it. If we're condemnation free, I want to give you a couple of things here that happen when we're condemnation free. Number one, most important, is it fosters a relationship with God. When we're condemnation free, we're positioned for relationship with God. We're positioned to know and understand who He is. We're positioned to come into an understanding of our sonship, the rights that we have as a son or a daughter. Number two, that when we're condemnation free, we're going to emphasize grace and love. Grace and love are natural fruits that are going to flow out of a life that is condemnation free. Grace and love are things that will be enjoyed by people who are condemnation free. The view of the world changes when you're condemnation free, allowing you to see, perceive, and receive grace and love. See, like I talked about last week, we can choose to believe. Holy Spirit charged me to choose to believe. Maybe I should tell that story for those who weren't here, but to choose to believe. I went to the Benny Hinn deal the other day, and I showed up there and I had no particular agenda to do anything, to believe about anything, to have any faith for anything to happen. And guess what? Nothing happened. Now, sometimes when you're a baby in Christ, why, God will override and just do something anyway. But, you know, when you get to the place I'm in, he kind of expects you to exert some faith for something. And as I was beginning to leave out of there, the Holy Spirit just rose up in me. He said, choose to believe. And as soon as I was in the process, I was actually in the process of, Lord, I just choose to believe. And immediately there were people praying for me and releasing a blessing in my life. That quick. When you choose to believe, now things can happen because you're lining yourself up. But see, when you're choosing to believe, you're recognizing your value and you're not in condemnation. Faith is an opposite to condemnation, which is not in my list anywhere, but that's really good, so hang on to it. Number three in my list of condemnation-free is you have no fear of being cast aside. No fear of being shamed. No fear of rejection. No fear of unworthiness or loss of fellowship. I don't have to anticipate a loss of fellowship when I'm without condemnation. See, the pressure is no longer on me when I'm not in condemnation. And now, because I'm not in condemnation, I can actually receive the things I need to receive. I'm free to address root issues. If I'm free from condemnation, I can now, all of a sudden, I can start addressing root issues in my life. Why? Because that issue that has been the connector is now disconnected. When the connector is taken out, now I no longer need the defensiveness and the other things that I've been doing to protect myself, because that connector has been removed. Now I'm free to actually learn and receive correction, because that correction is not telling me that I'm being rejected, that I'm unworthy, or that I'm being cast aside. See, somebody can give you an accurate word. Somebody can give you a word that should give you life and release life into your life. But if you receive it as condemnation, all you'll receive is the death that condemnation brings. And that is not the intention whatsoever of the person who's bringing it to you. I've had one of those recently where I had to bring a word of correction into somebody's life, and I knew before I started that they weren't going to be able to receive it, but I still had to do it. Because if you don't address it, it doesn't give them an opportunity to grow. And when I brought it, sure enough, defensiveness rises up before we even finish saying it. When you feel defensive rising up within yourself, that's a clue that maybe I need to look at something here. Now, that's not to say that every pastor addressing somebody is going to be correct, because we know that people can miss it. But I am saying that there should be nothing in us that's responding in a place of condemnation. When we're condemnation free, we're free to see what the real issue is. We're free to recognize whether the issue is really my issue or their issue. Okay, so that was number four, free to address root issues. Number five is we're free to see others as God sees them. See, that's really important on a day like today where we stand seeing a week that we've seen this week. It's important for us to recognize that we need to see others as God sees them. Because if I see my brothers and sisters as God sees them, if I see them as truly brothers and sisters in Christ, my response and my actions towards them are going to be very different. I'm not going to walk in prejudice. I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to walk in hatred. I'm going to walk in acceptance. Why? Because I've been set free. And my goal is to see you set free. I no longer have to take responsibility for your action if I'm not in condemnation. We see, when we're free of condemnation, we can put on a lens of love and grace. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go back to our point number one about what condemnation is, where I said that condemnation emphasizes legalism. Condemnation emphasizes legalism because it uses Old Testament law for its validation. And there's so many ways that can be misused. The Old Testament law was holy, righteous, and good, but there was nothing in it that could change you and cause you to be holy, righteous, and good. It can only teach you of your need for a Savior. That's Galatians, you know, chapter 2 through chapter 6 in two statements. It teaches you of your need for a Savior. The law was never intended to beat you, to bring you into salvation. It was never intended to bring you into anything but just a recognition that you need a Savior. It couldn't save you. And it still can't. So when we start entering into condemnation, we're putting ourselves right where the Jews were when they would try to go back under the law. And feast days aren't going to cut it when it comes to standing before Christ. Holidays and feast days and all the holy days and all that other stuff aren't going to make it happen when we stand before God. What makes it happen is faith and faith alone. It's got to be done by faith because we choose to approach Him by faith. And He chose for us to approach by faith. All the works in the world do not define our relationship. Right relationship with God is defined by faith only. Now, out of right relationship, there will be right actions that follow. Because now it's my desire to do what God wants me to do. But it can't be first. Romans 8 and 2 says that the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. When something is emphasizing this law to you, because one of the things that happens is that when condemnation comes, we start getting convicted over things that really aren't there. But we're not convicted, we're condemned. There's a difference. Conviction will lead to life. Condemnation only leads to death. Condemnation leads basically back into your sin cycle, and your sin cycle will take you to death. So I don't know why no one preaches about this. Yeah. Because as a body of Christ, we need to understand what this is doing to us. We need to understand how our agreement with this is causing us to miss the boat and to miss our rights as Christians. Number two was it shows you the problem without showing you the solution. I want you to turn with me to Romans 6. Because it's really clear. Romans 6 lays out everything, but I want to just highlight one verse here because of time. But I want you to see it in your Bible or your laptop or whatever it is that you got. So see right here. It wants to show you the problem, but not the solution. Right here's the solution. For sin shall not be master over you, verse 14. For you're not under law, but under grace. You're not under law, but under grace. The Spirit of life, that's grace in action on your behalf. Grace in action on your behalf. The Spirit of grace is that which will empower us to fulfill the Father's will. But the Spirit of grace is also that which empowers us to not sin. If grace were given so that we could sin, I think we would have seen Christ going, well, you know, Father, I'm going to go step over here in this little nightclub, have a little boogie time, and then I'm going to come out and we're going to call grace on it. And we don't see that happening, do we? But why do people say that it's okay? Ooh, I know I stepped in something. It's somebody's favorite thing. It's not okay! It's the power to be, grace is the power to be free from sin. Right here, it tells you that. It's the power to be free from sin. That's the answer. God has already empowered me to be free of sin. He's already given me the authority that I need to be free from sin. The rest of it is my choice. If I'm going to step over here and go boogie in the nightclub, I need to recognize that was a choice. Yeah, the devil can't make me do it. Now, this old stinky flesh, it can make you do it. It can make you want to do it. But it's not the nature of grace. Grace empowers me to not sin. Grace empowers me to fulfill the will of the Father. Grace brings me to the place where I can not only know that I have this power over sin, but I know that I have a relationship with God, and I can call upon my Papa at any moment that I need to, because as I call upon my Papa, He will give me the strength to do what I need to do. Grace brought me into my salvation. It's not going to abandon me when it deposits me in salvation. It stays with me so that that salvation becomes worked out into sanctification. And I really, really need to remember that one because that was cool. Condemnation creates judgment. That was number three. Accusation, unworthiness, shame, regret, disappointment, hopelessness. John 10:10 says this, is that I came to give you life and life abundantly. I came to give you life and life abundantly. None of those things sound like them, something that comes from God. The wisdom that comes from God is first peaceable, pure, lovely, of good report. Those sort of things are the things that come from God. Those are the things that come out of the nature of God. And what we begin to recognize that these things that are being seen there are of a different spirit than the Spirit of God. See, all these couple of points here are actually kind of related. When we see number three and number four, where there's a common root in the bondage and addiction. It keeps reminding us of our failures. All those are related. But bondage and addiction is kept in place by that connector called condemnation. Why? Because I go and I do something that I shouldn't have done. I slipped up and made a mistake. Now then, I try to repent and I try to seek God, but I can't get there because God, I just don't really want to go there. Because condemnation won't let me. Why? Because I'm now unworthy to approach him. You see, the series of lies that begin to be set up in that. And now, because I can't approach God with my sin, I need to do something else because I feel really terrible about myself. And so now I have to do something else. And what I go right back to my favorite thing over here, whatever that addiction is or whatever that bondage is. And I re-imbibe so I can feel good for 30 or 40 seconds or an hour or whatever. And the cycle starts all over. But if I break the condemnation, if I separate out and see the condemnation for what it is, if I separate it out, I can begin to overcome because I recognize that regardless of what happened right here, it has not changed my relationship with God because my relationship with God was based in the blood, not on my actions. It was based on my faith, not on what I did. And so therefore, when I did what I did, I immediately recognized, oh, God, I didn't want to do that. And I turn and I repent and I can come to my papa and my papa embraces me and he folds me and he loves on me and he gives me the strength to overcome. And I no longer feel bad about myself. I can start feeling good about myself. So I no longer need to go back into the cesspool. That's breaking the cycle of condemnation. That breaks the cycle of the bondage. That breaks the cycle of the addiction. When I can recognize that this condemnation is part of the enemy's plan to discomfort me from my land. See, your sins have been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. The only person who is going to be reminding you of that is the enemy. He's the only one who reminds you of the sin. God no longer needs to remind you of the sin because he already paid the price. Condemnation wants to keep the lies that got you into bondage in the first place intact. It covers them up by keeping you from coming to the one who can bring the light to it. In John 8, there was a lady who was caught in adultery. See, the adultery was just the way that she had worked out to make herself feel better. It was her response to not feeling good about herself. So that was what she, that was the cesspool that she got into. But what did Jesus say? Go. He said, sin no more. He added that on there, but that was after a comma. Go. Go. Sin no more was just a, you're not going to need to sin anymore. Because, why? Because you've been visited by truth. You've been visited by love. And when you've been visited by truth and grace and love, because through Christ Jesus came the realization of grace and truth. When you're visited by grace and truth, you don't have a need to sin anymore. Freedom was brought into place. Hallelujah. See, all of this, the thing of condemnation, it's designed to destroy you over your struggles. It's designed to keep you in that cycle. It's designed to keep you focused on those things. Because if you're focusing on your struggle, you're not focusing on the overcomer. See, that's my issue with 12-step programs. 12-step programs have, they focus you on the problem over and over and over and over. And yes, by our discipline of our flesh, we can suppress some things. But suppressing is not healing. If we'll look to the overcomer, we can be healed. I don't have a need for drugs or alcohol in my life anymore. Why? Because I looked to the healer. I looked to the overcomer. I don't need a 12-step program. For me, it was a one-step program. I believed and it was done. And I don't have a desire to go back to those things. And as a result, because when you get healed enough, I can go back into those where when the Lord would send me, I can go back to those environments and I'm not touched by them. Matter of fact, people are repelled from me automatically. And I've seen it happen over and over. Because there's no longer anything in me. Condemnation is not keeping it alive anymore. The overcomer is what they see. See, when it's designed to destroy you over your struggles, see, we're turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. There's a couple of things that we want to see here. We want to pick up out of 2 Corinthians 5. I've been saying one already several times this morning, but I want you to see it in your own little tablet or Bible or whatever it is. Because here's what's happening, what's not happening. Here's what's not happening when we're getting stuck in condemnation, we're not recognizing that we're no longer that person, that we're now a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. No longer am I set to have to do it the old way. Why? Because Christ is now in my life. I have a new way. And now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation, what is that? The restoration to favor. The restoration to the favor of God. The restoration to the grace of God. It was given to us not because of our actions, not because we deserved it. It was given to us because of his great pleasure to do so. We were restored to favor with him. Out of that, now we can look to restore others to favor with him. In verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What is it telling you? It's telling you this, that not only can you change, not only can you change, but something has already changed. It already changed. It's not something that could possibly, maybe someday if I really earn it, change. It already happened. He said, become. He didn't say work your way towards, and if you get enough merit badges, I'll give it to you. No. I don't have to work and earn merit badges to get there. I can just become the righteousness of God. Not because of my effort, not because of anything in me, simply because he already paid the price and it was his great desire. That was why he paid the price. And because he paid the price, I am free in regard to the law. Because he paid the price, I am freed in regard to condemnation. Because he paid the price, I can now step into a true relationship with my Father that sets me free. See, it keeps you guessing. Number 7 was keeps you guessing where you stand. Keeps you in torment. But you have to recognize that even with Abram, before he became Abraham, when God said in Genesis 15:6, he said he's going to count it his faith, he's going to count it to him as righteousness. That happened before Abraham ever did anything. Before there was ever a covenant. It happened before there was ever a circumcision. It happened before he made his great big mistakes with Ishmael. It happened before he ever stood in for Sodom and Gomorrah. It happened before he ever offered Isaac up. He'd done no great acts of faith. He had not yet committed his greatest failure. But God said, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to count it to you. Why? Because of faith. Our faith is not the determining factor. I mean, our faith is the determining factor, not our act, not our potential, but our faith. It is the thing that gets us to the place. It's faith that gets us to the place of our right standing with God. It's faith that gets us into the place of walking and knowing who He is, creating a relationship. I no longer have to guess where I stand because I stand in faith. I don't have to guess where I stand because regardless of what the enemy wants to tell me, I'm in faith. Sometimes we make it so easy to, because we come into agreement with condemnation. Something shows up and it's familiar to us. It is a familiar spirit, and sometimes it's really hard for us to understand and separate it out from that condemnation that comes. It's hard for us to separate it out from the legitimate conviction of the Holy Ghost. And we'll make an issue out of something that's not an issue simply because it was familiar. I totally love and respect much of what we see in the messianic movements. But you have to understand, if you go back under the law, you have to take all the curse with it. And Christ already paid for the curse of the law. He paid the price for the curse of the law. I don't have a need to put myself back under the curse of the law. When I go and get in condemnation, what I'm doing is putting myself under the curse of the law. And Christ Jesus already paid the price. And His word in Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom I have been set free. I shared a story about last Sunday, about being at the judgment seat of God. And out of that, a few people found places of condemnation. But that was never the intent. But see, what I didn't tell them was what happened before I got to the judgment seat. Because when I first showed up in heaven in this encounter, I was standing in a great hall of witnesses. And they were all standing around, and you could see the light of Christ just a little bit in the distance. But this hall was huge, and it was pressed with people. And all this, and I realized as I'm standing there that I'm totally naked. Completely naked. In front of everybody. And I did what comes natural to most human beings. I responded out of condemnation, and I fell down on the ground and curled myself up in a ball and tried to protect myself in every way that I could. And as I did this, I slowly began to realize that they all knew everything about me. Everything about me. And it really didn't matter how much I tried to curl myself up in a ball. They already knew every ugly thing I'd ever done. Yeah. Your worst nightmare come true. And then all of a sudden I realized all these people love me. They all accept me. They all know not only what I did, but why I did. And they all have a great love for me. Matter of fact, what I really began to find out was that as I rose up and took my place among the people, even though I couldn't see and understand everything with them, they could all understand everything with me. And they actually honored me because I was chosen to be in this generation. Not because of I was anything, but because this generation is something in heaven. And I can tell you, I've never experienced a freedom like I experienced then when I realized there's no condemnation, there's no shame, there's no guilt, there's no anything but just the love and the grace of God, and it's everywhere around me. It was totally and completely, I recognized for the first time in my life, I have something that's totally a safe place to be. That's the nature of heaven. And so when I approached the throne room from that experience, I no longer had any need or regard for condemnation. So the things that happened there were not about condemnation, but simply about a realization of what had happened and a realization of how it affected my Savior. That's all it was. Then a realization I could do better, because I could do better. That's why it's important for us to let go of the condemnation, for us to no longer be under condemnation, but be walking in the freedom that we've been granted as sons and daughters of the King. I'm going to talk more about this one next week, but it's a familiar spirit, a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit. But for now, the one lesson, one of the lessons, one of probably the most wonderful lesson that I can remember my first mentor giving me was to be a fruit inspector. No matter what's going on in your life, be a fruit inspector. And sometimes you need to wait and let the fruit begin to be evident. Those two things he taught me. When you're a fruit inspector, what's the fruit of condemnation? Guilt, shame, unworthiness, regret, judgment. None of that's good fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, that's the fruit that we want. Life, peace, joy, love. All those things, gentleness, all those things of mercy, compassion, all those things are fruits that bring us into the closeness and relationship with the Father, which is the last one. See, everything God does, He's never looking to put you in condemnation. He's never, ever. And I'm not going to ever say anything that's ever intended to put you in condemnation. Why? Because my God doesn't do it to me. My Father doesn't do it to me. I'm not going to do it to you. So if you hear something that sounds like condemnation, it's because either I didn't speak it right or something rose up in you that didn't hear it right. But we are not going to operate in this place in condemnation, because we're going to be a safe place for one another, a safe place to gather and to hold to one another and to grow with one another and to come and mature in the things of God. Like I said when I started, I don't know why people don't talk about this subject. It's too important for us to ignore. It's too important for us not to recognize the freedom that we have, not to recognize the ministry of reconciliation that we've been given, not to recognize that when we stand with God, when we'll begin to walk in the light as He walks in the light, that we'll have fellowship together and that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. That's the joy we have in reconciliation. That's the ministry we have in reconciliation. It's His purpose. So when it shows up, condemnation shows up, choose to believe God. Choose to believe God. Because as you believe God, faith is the answer. Faith is the antithesis of condemnation. Because faith will draw us into love. Faith will draw us into grace. Faith will draw us into truth. Condemnation represents none of those things. Life abundantly. Hallelujah.